This is the Vince Salerno Podcast, episode 36. On today's episode, we are looking back at all the movies that I have seen in 2018, talking about the best and the worst, and looking ahead to 2019. All this as the Vince Salerno Podcast starts right now. Hey guys, welcome back to the Vince Salerno Podcast on this final installment. I'm recording this on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2018. I'm your host, Vince Salerno. It's been, it's been a good year. I've had my fair share of hardships I've gone through this year, but not nearly as bad as previous years. It's been a great year. I met a lot of amazing people, a lot of great friends, made a lot of cool movies, seen a lot of cool movies, done a lot of cool things. It's been an exciting year. I just recently graduated from college, so I'm officially done, about to enter into adulthood and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. But that's exciting. It's exciting to break away from school and finally go out in the world as an adult and really establish who you are to the world. So I am grateful for the experiences I've had in 2018, and I am looking forward to 2019 with great anticipation. And so with the year wrapping up, I thought I'd go through all the movies that I've seen, new releases that I've seen. In total, at the time that I'm recording this right now, I have seen 59 movies. Actually, I'm going to see Vice today with my brother, so that'll be 60. I might try to add that at the end of this, just a little excerpt at the end. We'll see. But I've seen 59 to 60 movies this year. Honestly, a great year for movies. There have been so many really good movies, and then some pretty bad ones. Actually, some really bad ones, but most of them have been really good. And I've been really impressed. And I'm not going to go through all the movies that I've seen. I'm just going to briefly touch on from worst to best. Just breeze through some of these 59, 60 movies and then get to the top 10. That's when I'll elaborate on the things that I actually like. So starting from the bottom of the list, the two worst movies that I've seen this year are Father of the Year and The Week Of. If you haven't heard of those, well, it's probably a good thing. These are both Happy Madison Productions. Father of the Year stars David Spade as a sort of homewrecker, just down out of his luck, pathetic excuse for a man, dad, who wants to pick a fight with his son's best friend's dad because he's rich and successful. I honestly don't remember. The only reason why I even wanted to watch this movie was because Bridget Mendler was in it. I'm a big Bridget Mendler fan. She's like my Hollywood crush. So I watched it for her, and she did okay. You know, this movie was so bad, I never fast-forward through movies. Never. Not even if it's not going super well. But this was so bad, I actually decided to fast-forward through all the Bridget Mendler parts just so I could get through the movie, because it was painfully unfunny. It's by far the worst movie I've seen. One of the worst Happy Madison movies I've seen, just not even worth mentioning. And then The Week Of stars comedy legends Adam Sandler and Chris Rock as father of the bride and father of the groom. Adam Sandler is a family man who likes to save money, so he does things pretty cheaply. Chris Rock is a very rich, successful businessman who offers to help pay for things, and Adam Sandler is like, no, I got it, it's my daughter's wedding, blah, 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 blah. And it's just kind of like these funny scenes with the families and them trying to put this wedding together. It's just, it's not even funny, and I love Chris Rock. He's one of my favorite comedians, and Adam Sandler, he can be funny, as we know, but he just, again, another crap fest for Happy Madison. So I can confidently say these are the worst of 2018. Some other terrible movies that I've seen were The Predator, just an awful movie. I don't know why this movie does not resemble a Shane Black movie, and I've seen most of his films, and this I don't see where Shane Black fits into any of this. It's baffling to me that he even wrote this movie. I mean, just looking back at my my review for the film, I did not give it. I gave it a 1 star. I said it was awful. It finds a way to defy all logic while insulting anyone with special needs or mental health issues at the same time. It's impressive to see someone make a film about hunting aliens boring. Or sorry, alien hunters from outer space boring. Even when with some signature writing from Shane Black that seems mostly butchered in post-production, and some decent performances from Boyd Holbrook and Keegan-Michael Key, those are literally the only two performances, and I guess we can throw in Sterling K. Brown, he was alright. The Predator is a pointless argument to keep a great franchise alive. And it pains me to write that, but that's the case. In fact, did I write reviews for... Let me see, did I write reviews for Father of the... I said 1 star because of Bridget Mendler, but that's it. That's my only comment on that. The week of... I don't think I wrote a review for this. Yeah, I have no words for that one. That one was pretty bad. The fourth worst film I saw this year was Mute, which was really disappointing because I was looking forward to the movie, and I never expected it something from Duncan Jones to be so bad. I mean, the tone shifts constantly. None of the characters are likable. And the most frustrating thing is the story doesn't make any sense. There's a lot that connects these characters that is never really apparent, and some of their motivations are out of character, which just confuses audiences even more because we don't know who these characters are. It really pains me to say that Mute is one of the worst films of the year. Next was Mortal Engines. It's so disappointing. Peter Jackson had a great world to build on. It was the first time in a long time I've checked my phone in the movie theater. The ideas are there for the movie. It's kind of this like Star Wars-esque universe that could be really fun and really cool, but the script's terrible, the acting's okay, almost every young adult cliche is shoehorned into the movie. It's just bad. Wrinkle in Time by Ava DuVernay was this whole weird feminine empowerment and combining that with the space-time continuum, it just didn't work. After that is The Grinch. I have a huge amount of respect for the original Grinch, and I don't think this is worth your money. It's lazy, it's unoriginal, it's basically Despicable Me, but with The Grinch. From the minions to the little girl that changes his heart to the bad guy having technology, It's Despicable Me with the Grinch. Don't go see it. It's a waste of your money. After that was Night School with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. I think these two are actually really funny comedians. I love these two as comedians, but this movie, it had some funny moments and it had some unfunny moments. Editing was choppy. Scene transitions were all over the place. Order of events was baffling. I laughed maybe 2 or 3 times. I took my at the time girlfriend to see this movie, and we didn't like it. After that is The Meg. It's a fun action, you know, it's Jaws, but if Jaws was a monster, you know. It's hard to tell if a movie like that is bad and just knows it's bad, or if it actually is potentially trying to be good. But I had fun with it. Sorry to Bother You was just garbage. Started out really well. All I had to say after it was, what the F is this? If you want to read all my comments on these movies, you can go to my Letterboxd account, and you can find my top 10 of 2018 list. All the movies are there. You can look at my reviews. Just search my name. The most disappointing movie of the year, I think, for me was Pacific Rim Uprising. I love the first Pacific Rim, and the thing that I love about it the most is they make you feel like you're an insect in this world of giant robots. They make you feel the scale, the impact, the mass of these things, while also telling a fairly emotional story. I don't think the story is anything groundbreaking, but it's definitely a lot more emotional than this. Pacific Rim 2 just butchers anything decent that the original two movies, or the original movie, had. I didn't even write a review for this movie because it was just, I was just so disappointed. I'll try to breeze through the rest of these. Clara's Ghost was a Sundance movie. Had an interesting things it was saying, but just overall a mess. Bad Samaritan was a fun, dark mystery thriller. Didn't need to be released in the theaters. I think it works more as a Lifetime movie. I was going because a friend of mine was actually in the movie and I wanted to support him. But, you know, it's not a terrible movie, but I don't think it deserves to be in the theaters. Summer of 84, another Sundance movie, really great movie set in the 80s, very consistent with the timeline. Throughout the movie, it's great, except for the ending. I absolutely hate the ending. It just sort of betrays everything the movie was motivating in terms of its message, and I just think the ending ruined the whole thing for me. Ocean's 8. Ocean's 8 is a failed attempt to revitalize the Ocean's franchise. It's a shell of what the original was. It's not... It's shot really well. The actors are okay. There's nothing wrong with the performances, per se, but it's just... It's not suspenseful. It's not gripping. It's fun to watch, but it's about as... I know, it's about as good as Ocean's 12, if that. There's no real emotional arc like in the first movie, or even the third movie, really. If you want to see, if you're a fan of the franchise, check it out. If not, you're doing yourself a favor if you're not watching it. Life of the Party, starring Melissa McCarthy, it was a funny comedy. I laughed a couple times, but it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of dumb. I'm kind of getting sick of these Melissa McCarthy movies where she's just sort of wasted as an actress. I mean, it wasn't original and it wasn't creative. It was just kind of this very cliche comedy. Colette, starring Keira Knightley. This movie was really hard to follow for me. I know people love it, but I just didn't get into it. One point, she's trying to compete with her husband in regards to writing books. Next, she's having this gay romance and she's having sex with every woman in London or something. I don't know. It lost me. Damsel, I saw that at Sundance as well. Pretty decent movie. I actually fell asleep during this and people were actually walking out because we just didn't get it. But I stayed in and I've seen worse, but it's just a really confusing and bizarre Western. But very well shot and fairly funny. I might check it out. Maybe I'll reevaluate my thoughts on that movie. Next up, that is Death Wish. Bruce Willis in the classic role of Paul Kersey. Remake of the original Death Wish by Eli Roth. It was a fun movie. I had a lot of fun with it. You know, it's Bruce Willis. Can't speak today. It's Bruce Willis in a action movie. I got what I wanted. Wasn't expecting much. The Cloverfield Paradox. This was a bad movie. This was just... I thought it had some interesting ideas. It's epic. It's somewhat engaging with the emotional story. There's a great cast. It's pretty... It's a mind trip of a ride. And it kind of... The twist at the end and how it connects to the original Cloverfield is a little lazy and just sort of shoehorned in. But it's kind of fun. Hopefully Cloverfield comes out with another installment that's a little better than that. After that is Rampage with Dwayne Johnson. I mean, come on, it's Dwayne Johnson fighting giant monsters. That's all you could want. Loved Rampage. Christmas Chronicles, starring Kurt Russell as Santa Claus. It's a little cheesy, a little corny. I just watched it recently, but it's a fun movie. Kurt Russell is fantastic as Santa Claus, and I hope we get, like, more movies like this, like a continuing franchise with Kurt Russell playing Santa Claus and more Christmassy characters popping up than just Santa Claus. I don't know. After that is Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, directed by Andy Serkis. The thing that I love the most about this movie is the motion capture performances. It's probably the most interesting looking versions of the Jungle Book characters. I wasn't a huge fan of how hyper-realistic the Disney version looked. This looks like actual people morphed into animals. So I definitely liked this motion capture look a lot better. The story is pretty good. Near the end, it kind of gets lost, and it just kind of, you know, kind of resorts to its old shenanigans. Mowgli kind of goes back to the jungle at the end, and you're not really sure what the outcome is, besides what you'd expect. But it's not a bad movie. I really enjoyed it, and it's, again, it's worth it for the motion capture performances alone. After that is Crazy Rich Asians. I thought it was good. I was really entertained. It definitely is a unique take on the romantic comedy genre, using Asians and sort of their kind of this weird sort of outlook they have at each other, where if you're raised in poverty, you're nothing. If you're raised in luxury and riches, you're something. Awkwafina has been in two movies I've seen this year, and I think she's hilarious. Put Awkwafina in more stuff. She's so funny. I'll watch her in anything at this point. After that was Venom. Venom was a really entertaining, fun time at the theater. It's got its flaws, but it's a fun superhero movie with more redeemability than I think people are making out to believe. But yeah, it's fun. It's good. I like it. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I like this movie a lot. I think I liked it the more I saw it, especially the sort of haunted house dinosaur chase they have near the end of the movie. That it's worth it for that alone. But otherwise, it is kind of just this compilation of ideas that just, I don't know, like the whole idea of Jurassic Park is a little outlandish and unrealistic, obviously, but we're reaching a point where these movies are getting just they're unbelievable for the universe that it creates. So it's hard to take it seriously at times, but they're fun movies, and I'm interested to see where they take it with Jurassic Park 6. I refuse to call these movies Jurassic World 2 or 3, whatever it's called. That's so dumb. So dumb. Sicario 2, fun action movie. Didn't live up to the sequel, but then again, it's just a fun, intense action movie, pretty well told. Black Klansman, I liked it up until the ending. Great performances from the main actor and Adam Driver. A Futile and Stupid Gesture, funny look into the making of National Lampoon. Polka King, another Netflix movie with Jack Black. Pretty funny movie. Early Man, Aardman's claymation caveman movie. I was really looking forward to this movie, but it was kind of underwhelming, the plot or the idea it took. I don't know. I know it's a kid's movie, but it was a little outlandish for my taste. But still fun. I still liked it. Outlaw King. I thought that was a great movie. Chris Pine does a great job as Sir Robert the Brute. But it's predictable. It's a very predictable movie, and it plays out almost the exact same way as Braveheart, with the exception of the ending. I Think We're Alone Now is a good indie sci-fi movie by Reed Morano. She's a great cinematographer, great director, but the ending was a little, I don't know, outlandish for the whole thing. but still, good movie. Hearts Beat Loud is next. The whole romance between the daughter and this other girl is kind of unnecessary. I think it didn't add anything to the movie. The heart of the movie is Nick Offerman and Kiersey Clemons' relationship as father and daughter, and the songs are so good in this movie. This is one of my favorite films from Sundance. It's a great movie. There's some stuff in it that just feels very redundant, unnecessary, but otherwise, great film. Just trying to rush through these to get to my my top 10. Ready Player One. I really enjoyed the movie. It's a hell of a ride with a bunch of nostalgia and 80s references and stuff like that. At the end of the day, if you see my review with George Dahl, it's I don't know, it just isn't very engaging of a story. The characters are hard to get into when they are CGI most of the time. I like it. I don't think it's the greatest movie ever. It easily wasn't the best movie of the year, but still pretty good. All right, now we're in my top 20. So running down my top 20, we have A Simple Favor by Paul Feig, starring Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively. This was actually a really good movie. I was really impressed with Paul Feig that he was able to rebound after Ghostbusters. And it's a very elegant story that sort of mixes sort of a Gone Girl filmmaking style storytelling with sort of modern cliche comedy, and it works. It was a really entertaining movie. There's this whole MacGuffin with this painting with Blake Lively she's like naked from head to toe, and it's just really disturbing to watch throughout the movie. It's very distracting, but otherwise, great movie. Number 19, Creed 2. Creed 2 was a damn good, satisfying sequel. I was worried about that one, if that wouldn't live up to the original. I think the original is still the better one, but this movie definitely does not leave any cards on the table. It delivers. It's predictable, but it definitely delivers. Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, Tessa Thompson, Dolph Lundgren all give great performances and add new layers and new depth to the characters that we never thought we would get, even with Rocky and Drago. So, great sequel, great continuation of this franchise. Next is Upgrade. Upgrade was so cool and so fun. It was this movie that just sort of came out of nowhere, and I'm really glad I caught it before the year ended. The ending is so unexpected, and it makes the movie for me. Without the ending, I don't know if I'd be able to get into it as much, but really satisfying movie, really great sci-fi original. Hopefully more people will start to see it as the years go by. Number 17, Come Sunday. This was actually the first movie I saw at Sundance, and it's a Netflix film. And it's about a preacher, Carlton Pearson, his idea that hell isn't real. And albeit it's hard to get into a religious movie when you don't believe in something like that. But that being said, the message the movie has about loving and accepting those as they are, and that, you know, despite our differences, we can still come together. It's a great message I think the world needs now more than ever. And really, it took me a while to come to this opinion, but I think it's a really great, well-told movie. Not the best, but definitely not the worst. Number 16, Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2 really surprised me. I have to be honest. I didn't really like Deadpool 1. Just the humor and the sexual stuff and the nudity, just that stuff bugs me in movies. But this movie had no nudity as far as I'm concerned. And the language and dirty humor kind of works to a degree where it's not too over the top. But this movie really sells an emotional theme of family. And that family is not what you always expect it to be. And it can be, you know, it comes in many forms. And that, I got emotional at Deadpool 2, I have to be honest. And I love this movie. It's one of my favorites in the comic book genre. It's easily one of the best from Ryan Reynolds, David Leitch. I was really impressed with this one. And hats off to Ryan Reynolds for really trying to make these movies more than just comic book films and make them actually emotional storytelling with comedy. It's great. All right, number 15, I hate to do this, but number 15 is Incredibles 2. Incredibles 2, first time I saw it, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was everything I wanted and more. And then I saw it a second time and a third time and a fourth time, and I realized this isn't a satisfying sequel. It's a good movie. It's a really entertaining movie, but the first Incredibles had a darkness to it. It had mature adult themes while still being a fun animated movie for kids. It felt almost like a evaluation of superheroes in a grounded reality that still felt real and outlandish at the same time. This feels like a Saturday morning cartoon. From the bright colors to the highly outlandish superhero costumes, the action kind of disappoints. Almost every big action scene is just them trying to stop something from crashing into something else. There's no really big fight scenes with other supervillains. The supervillain himself, the screenslaver, or herself, I should say, is really disappointing. It's a disappointing sequel. I think it's still a fun continuation of the franchise, but I really hope we get a third movie to sort of redeem this one, because this was not a satisfying sequel. It was not what I expected after 14 years of waiting for Incredibles 2. Speaking of 14, number 14 is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. This movie is a Coen Brothers movie that features six stories that, with each story as they progress on, they get darker and darker. But it's a really fun Western that sort of, I don't know, it's original. You know, it's not like anything they've done before. It's a really surprising blend of dark humor, at a classic Western backdrop that has like an irresistible Coen Brothers humor. Like, I love that. I love their writing. It's so unique and so well written and so entertaining. Easily one of the best films of the year, although not making my top 10. And honestly, I'm waiting for a Buster Scruggs prequel after that first little segment. I could watch a whole movie with him, to be honest. Number 13, Searching, starring John Cho. This movie takes place entirely on computer screens and phone screens and television screens and cameras, and it's fantastic. I didn't think this movie would keep me drawn in, but it has a surprise. If Simple Favorite didn't top that, it'd be this year's Gone Girl. I feel like this movie had the same amount of mystery and intrigue to it while still telling a grounded and highly realistic story. And I just loved it. I could not believe what I was watching. It was such a great time with the movies. And then this innovative type of technology, this innovative way of telling stories, is what I love seeing in movies. When filmmakers try to sort of break the system, so to speak, by trying to do different things, it excites me so much. And we'll touch in on that in my top 10, because there's a movie in this top 10 that really did that for me more than Searching. Number 12, A Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski, of course. I mean, this was one of the greatest films of the year, and I hope it gets all the Oscar attention. It's scary, it's intense, and most of all, the family dynamic is so strong, and it's rooted in this what I'm unfortunate is now sort of this ancient tradition of family, and every person in the family has like a role to play, and every family member is significant, and we all have to learn to grow up sooner than we want sometimes in life. There's just so many themes that I related to from my life and from other people, my friends' lives, and I just love that it was such a grounded story. And honestly, I hope the sequel doesn't ruin this, because it's a really great movie that I don't think needs a sequel. But if John Krasinski has found a way to keep it going, let's see what he has to say. All right, number 11, The Isle of Dogs. This freaking movie. Ugh, I loved this. Wes Anderson is one of my all-time favorite directors. Even though his movies are kind of a hit and miss for me, he's one of my favorites. Most times I either vibe with his films, or I find myself irritated or just bored, like Life Aquatic. It was still good, but I was bored with that one. I think my biggest complaint about the movie is that there's some reveals in this that are really entertaining and really cool. The characters aren't as prominent and as strong as I wish they would. Like, there's a lot of colorful characters, and we don't spend a lot of time with those characters. But it's a well-told, contained story, and I love it. It's one of my favorite Tarantino. It's one of my favorite Wes Anderson films, and again, I'm looking forward to whatever he does next. Now we are finally on to my top 10 of the year. This took a long time to adjust. And honestly, if I see Vice tonight, if I see Vice tonight and anything changes with my list, I'll be sure to update this episode. But this is my top 10 as it stands. So number 10, Christopher Robin. I'm a huge Winnie the Pooh fan. I've loved Winnie the Pooh as much as I love Toy Story. I've seen all the movies, all the TV episodes, and I was ecstatic to hear that they were doing a emotional live-action retelling, sort of in the vein of like Toy Story 3. You know, Disney did a great job of finding a new way to bring us back to the Hundred Acre Wood in a way that speaks to the inner child in all of us. I think that's what this movie really does well. It makes all audiences feel like a kid again and sort of retain that youth that we all have inside us. And, you know, the only criticism I have is that Hayley Atwell, one of my all-time favorite actresses, was underused in this movie. Despite that, this movie is damn near perfect as far as I'm concerned. It's emotional, it's funny, it's charming. It brings out the child in everybody. The voice acting is phenomenal. Ewan McGregor as Christopher Robin was fantastic. I was blown away with the fact that they got Peter Capaldi to voice Rabbit. That was one thing I would never expect. And although I wanted more of the Hundred Acre Wood characters, I was still satisfied with what I got. It felt seamless with the original Winnie the Pooh movie. It could fit right in with that. Number 9, Game Night. I saw this movie very early in the year, and I have loved it ever since. Like, it's always been in my top 10. I've always tried to rearrange things to make sure it stays in there, because I've seen this movie like 4 times this year. It's one of my all-time favorite comedies now, and it's a mainstream comedy, but it has so much style and specific direction. It's not shot in your typical way. It plays with certain camera shots and aspect ratios, and it does things that I was not expecting a cliche movie like this to do. And it breaks away from that cliche nature, honestly, right off the bat. And I was just so impressed with this movie, I couldn't keep it out of my top 10. So, and it's directed by John Francis Daley, Jonathan M. Goldstein. So these guys are, I hope these guys get more work, because they are phenomenal directors. And I want a sequel to this, but I don't. I just love this movie so much. So great. So, and it's got like an 80s feel to it. Maybe it's just the techno music, but it does. It has like an old school feel to it. And that's what I love about it so much. Okay, behind that, or in front of that, number 8, Mission Impossible Fallout. I've been a huge fan of the Mission Impossible franchise, and I didn't think anything could top the 4th movie. I didn't think the 5th movie topped the 4th movie, in my opinion, but this movie did. We're finally getting to a point where we have to get deep with Ethan Hunt, and we're digging into emotional aspects of his life, and I think that's really exciting, and the fact that we might continue this emotional theme going forward, and that we might get deeper into the character and who he is and the choices he makes in life, and, you know, we might get closer to seeing an emotional end to the character, too. I don't know, but dang, this movie was so fun, so action-packed. The stunts, you can feel the intensity of all the stunts, like, God bless Tom Cruise, because he spares no expense with these stunts, and it's incredible. You feel everything he does. You feel the intensity, the pain, the focus. It's honestly, it's incredible what he goes through to make these movies. So, yeah, Mission Impossible Fallout, number 8. Number 7, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. I was scared about a Wreck-It Ralph sequel just because I didn't know if it would live up to the original, and I don't think this movie tops the original, but it's definitely a really good, really emotional movie. I mean, it's established itself as sort of Disney's version of Toy Story. And I know people are saying, like, well, wait a minute, Toy Story is Disney, but that's Pixar. This is a franchise that Disney can call its own. that deals with characters that people in the movie world itself love and that we love. And it's something that they own themselves. And they have these two characters that are bound by a very close friendship. And that friendship is tested. And honestly, it was the best thematic thing that they could have done with this franchise. I didn't know what they were going to do as an emotional story. And this was really the best thing they could do. A story about friends and what makes a bad friend, what makes a good friend, and letting friends go and trusting them. And that distance and that trust will make your friendship stronger. I've had to deal with this moving back to the Midwest. You know, a lot of my friends were telling me that I should stay and were kind of angry with me that I was leaving California. But they, you know, we all learned to trust each other and that we would always be friends. And as a result, I mean, I've only been back for a couple weeks, but that's remained. And this movie really sort of cements that idea that, you know, friends don't hold friends back from their dreams. So yeah, this movie was so, so great. Another high point for Disney, and I can't wait for what everything else they're doing. Toy Story 4, Frozen 2, give me the movies! Alright, we're almost done. Number 6, Black Panther. This was another movie I saw very early in the year, and absolutely loved it. It is probably, next to Infinity War, one of the biggest movies I've seen. You feel the scale and the scope and the emotion and sort of these big wars going on in the middle of these fields in Wakanda. The character development and the story is so, so great. It blows my mind that they got someone like Ryan Coogler to tell such a emotionally charged story about family and betrayal and destiny and birthright. It just blows my mind how much story was crammed into this movie. And, you know, if Chadwick Boseman wasn't a star before this, he's a star now. I mean, it's a damn near perfect movie. It's probably one of Marvel's best, in my opinion. I mean, they're proving that they're willing to take risks. Kevin Feige clearly knows that, and that he wants to take more risks going forward. And I mean, it's just a bold, epic, suspenseful, emotional, empowering movie. I mean, that's all I really have to say. It's a great movie. And when you have excellence, there's really not much else to say. Definitely deserves a spot in my top five. It's been in my top five for a while. It actually is number 6 now, but only because other movies have come out recently that have bumped it down. But it's always been in my top 10 for sure, because it's that great of a movie. Okay, now we reach the top 5, the last 5 of the year that I've seen that have made the list. So number 5 is Won't You Be My Neighbor. This, I don't really watch a lot of documentaries, but this one I was compelled to because I grew up on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and the show, and I wasn't really aware of when he died. It didn't really impact me all that much because I was still a little kid. I wasn't even aware that he did die, but knowing his life and what he went through to get what he wanted and protect children, it's incredible. And it's a shame that there aren't enough people like this around today who really value protecting children, especially now with all these allegations of sexually assaulting children, just so many allegations keep coming out about that, and it's just really sad. And I hope that this movie continues to encourage people to value and protect children in this world and their education and their development and their growth, because children are the future and they are important and they need opportunities to be creative and to play and to be who they want to be. And there shouldn't be no limit on creativity for a child. And this movie really sells that idea, and that's why I love it so much. Number 4 is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I never thought a Spider-Man movie could top Homecoming or even the original Spider-Man movie. This tops all the Spider-Man movies. It may not be Peter Parker's story, but it's because Peter Parker's my favorite, not because I'm biased or anything. I mean, I am. But this movie is damn good, and it solidifies itself as a Miles Morales' story, even though it's full of, like, five or six other Spider-Men. And that's the most exciting and awesome part of this movie, is that it's about one person. It's about one person's story and one person's acceptance of who he is, and not letting anybody try to define who he is for himself. It's all about self-acceptance and taking a leap of faith and being confident with who you are. And what makes you unique makes you special. Or in this case, what makes you unique makes you Spider-Man. Let me just read my review real quick, because I wrote a lot on this movie. Filmmakers that break the system through innovation are true artists. Last night I saw the first film in a long time that truly felt like an innovation and a new step in technology. I've heard stories about how the servers breaking just to get the animation style they wanted. That is filmmaking. Clearly the work paid off, because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is a phenomenally acted, directed, and written story with beautiful animation that captivates and thrills with every frame. Not only is this beautiful to look at, the characters are so funny and well-developed. I feel like this film is the closest we've gotten to portraying the essence and tone of the Spider-Man comics. It's got heart, humor, gut-busting humor at that, and an emotional story of embracing what makes you unique. I was also impressed at how dark it got at times. Bring the tissues, folks. This could have easily been made into live action. It wouldn't have made it nearly as effective as it was in animation. This film is proof that animation isn't a genre. It's an artistic choice that knows no bounds. But only few can truly embrace it and make something truly unique. Go see this movie. It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, this movie really solidifies things that I believe fundamentally as a filmmaker, that animation is not a genre that we can categorize films in. Animation is an artistic choice. And albeit animation is geared towards kids most times, animation is not something that we can put into a jar and just say that's for them. Animation is for everybody who wants to see it. Adults, girls, boys, little kids, elderly people, it's for everybody. And depending on the type of movie you make, if you want to make an R-rated animated movie, do it. If you want to make a G-rated animated movie, do it. I mean, there's no bounds to animation. I feel like people need to embrace animation more as an artistic choice, an artistic style of filmmaking, instead of a categorization of film. But yeah, this movie is just phenomenal, and easily one of my favorite, easily the best Spider-Man movie we've gotten. And the soundtrack, the characters, the animation, I could go on and on about how great this movie is. It's just fantastic. Number three is Eighth Grade, directed by Bo Burnham. I said that right. Haha. And starring Elise Fisher. This movie was... It feels like a modern masterpiece. I didn't have a single problem with this movie. Not a single problem. It's got great performances, a laser-focused story, unique style. It's a really real and honest, truthful portrayal of middle school and high school life and how kids deal with seclusion and bullying. It's hard for a male to relate to, but I feel like all kids, everybody who's been through high school or middle school, can relate to this movie, whether you're a boy or a girl. It's a very relatable story about accepting who you are, being confident with yourself, and trying to fit in. And it's a very original take that I've never seen before. It feels very we're very laser focused on the main character, her struggle and her experience, Kayla. And yeah, honestly, modern masterpiece. I mean that in every sense of the word. This movie will, in 10 years time, this movie will be considered like, I don't know what to compare it to, but this will be one of the greatest films of all time in 10 years from now. I guarantee you. And I hope to God this movie gets all the Oscar attention and all the praise that it deserves when Oscar season comes around. Okay, last two. We're almost there. The number two movie of my list is Annihilation, directed by Alex Garland. This movie is so good and so underrated. It's incredible. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. The first time I saw it, I couldn't get into it, but I loved the ending. And I thought the ending cannot be that incredible and the rest of the movie be garbage. And so I went back in with an open mind and ended up loving it. I realized upon the second watch, there's a lot more complexity than meets the eye. It really requires you to expand your mind and really be taken in with such this. You have to really focus on the deep storytelling and the details. And I know it's hard as our society to focus on details right now and stay focused for more than 2 minutes, but it's a film that requires deep focus. And when you can get focused, you'll get so much out of this movie about self-destruction, about change, and about wanting to be the better version of yourself. So much in this movie that just blows my mind how deep it is, and how underrated and how underappreciated this movie is. It's so good, and I hope to God, I will be so pissed if this movie gets snubbed at the Oscars or Golden Globes or anything like that. This movie deserves all the attention. It's so well told, so amazing, and one hell of a trip. Okay, now I bet you all are probably going to know what my number one is, but here it is. My number one movie of all time and my most anticipated movie of this year is Avengers Infinity War. We've been building up to this moment in cinema for 10 years, and it finally comes, and it's everything I wanted and more. It is so epic and unexpected. I never expected this movie to really... It really is Thanos' movie. People have argued me about this, but I believe it. This is Thanos' movie, through and through. It's about him, his struggle. He is the main character while also being the villain of this movie. And yes, we have Iron Man and Captain America and Doctor Strange and all the other Avengers as main characters, but they're side quests. It's like the multiple side quests in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And it's comparable to the Lord of the Rings because of that epicness and that vastness of it, that it stretches all across the universe. This war, this battle for existence. And Thanos' reasons for everything, while flawed, are so emotionally driven. And there are scenes where I was crying where I didn't expect to cry. I felt at times that I was rooting for Thanos. And that was the one thing I did not expect. And one other thing is this movie solidified itself into icon status when it snapped half of humanity into existence. There are so many memes, pictures, references to the snap from Infinity War. It's about as iconic now as I Am Your Father from The Empire Strikes Back. I don't think we're going to get another movie. I never thought we'd get a movie like this that would do that type of, have that type of impact on the world that Empire had. And this movie does that. Infinity War is our generation's Empire Strikes Back. And it is so impactful, so emotional, so funny, so fun. It's just, it takes the cake for Avengers. Avengers used to be in my top 100 of all time, or top 10. This replaces Avengers now. Avengers Infinity War is now my all-time favorite Marvel movie because of what it was able to do over the course of 10 years, the promises it kept and it satisfyingly delivered on, and what it promises for the future of the MCU. It is, in my opinion, the best movie of 2018, hands down. Whew, all right. That was a lot. I didn't think that going through 59 movies would take so much time, but we got it done. So that's my list. In fact, you know what? I skipped through a couple movies, but that's what's going to happen when you're going through so many movies. I did skip The Mule, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Un Traductor, which translates to The Translator. The Mule was good. Han Solo was good, but should have been better. Ant-Man and the Wasp was really good. Un Traductor was... it was a good movie. Very entertaining. Very emotional. Sorry I didn't go into more detail on those movies, but... I don't know how I breezed through those, but I did. I'm going to insert a quick opinion on Vice right now, so just stay tuned for that. All right, well, while I'm recording this, it is officially 2019, so Happy New Year, everybody. I did go and see Vice today before the year ended, and I'll just read a little bit from my review on Letterboxd. Long story short, it's the first political movie I've seen in a long time with no specific bias, at least not until the end. Adam McKay presents the life of the most powerful vice president in history as true as he can, with an entertaining script, superb acting, just hand Bale and Adams their Oscars now. They're amazing. And a unique editing and storytelling style only Adam McKay can pull off. Christian Bale completely disappears into the role of Dick Cheney. There were times when I even forgot he was playing a role. At moments, he was Dick Cheney. Besides a very biased portrayal of George W. Bush, but not a bad performance at all, Vice is a movie that shows the life of a man who took advantage of every opportunity and turned it into power. Not a bad one in the movie until you get to the mid-credits scene. So yeah, the big takeaways are Cheney is portrayed pretty well throughout the movie. There are definitely some... the film kind of leaves it up to you to whether you want to be against or for Cheney in certain events. And it almost demonizes him as this sort of Walter White-esque figure that... that puts power over everything else, which is not the case, at least what I think, from what I know from Cheney. And overall, I love the movie. It didn't make the top 10, but it's in the top 20. And actually, I will say right now that it is number 15, bumped The Incredibles 2 down to number 16, Deadpool 2, 17, Come Sunday 18, Upgrade 19, Creed 2, 20, and A Simple Favor got knocked down to 21, knocking it out of the competition completely. And I know upon recording this, I missed completely Un Traductor, Solo, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'll say Un Traductor, I fell asleep during that movie at Sundance, but it is a very emotional historical story. And I know it sort of rode a line between historical and indie film, and I didn't really understand what it was trying to say, but it was still a very emotional, well-told story. Solo was a good movie. It was fun. It did not satisfy because it was just okay. And a Solo movie should not just be okay. It should be amazing, and it just wasn't. So. Otherwise, I loved Alden Ehrenreich's performance. Donald Glover as Lando was perfect. It's a fun Star Wars movie, not the worst. Definitely not the best either. And Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think it's an improvement from the sequel. or from the sequel, the original. I really enjoyed it. Seeing the characters again, having them develop their relationships was fun. Seeing Evangeline Lilly finally take on the mantle of the Wasp was so fun. She really excels at playing this character, and I love the romance between the Wasp and Ant-Man. Hopefully they sort of further develop that. I was hoping this would be like kind of a rom-com between the two of them, and it really wasn't, but maybe we can get that in number three. I'm not sure. But yeah, as far as those three films go, great movies, all were given 4 stars, I think, with the exception of Un Traductor. But yeah, I liked them, and I loved Vice. All right, well, that's 2018 for me in terms of movies. Once again, I think this has been a groundbreaking year for film, with movies like Searching and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse that really try to break the system and do new and innovative things with storytelling and filming techniques. I love stuff like that. I think those movies have done a great job with it. We've gotten epics and iconic films like Black Panther and Infinity War that have redefined the modern day blockbuster genre and have set a precedent for that stuff. We have movies like Won't You Be My Neighbor and Christopher Robin that remind us what it means to be a kid and to embrace our inner child. We've got movies like Isle of Dogs and Ralph Breaks the Internet and A Quiet Place that talk about loyalty and friendship and trust and love for one another. And we've got just so many great movies that have come out this year. Some not as great as I expected, but still some great movies. And goes without saying, I think 2018 has been one of the best years for movies in a long, long time. And 2019, we have a lot to look forward to. For me, I'm looking forward to more than anything, Toy Story 4, Avengers Endgame, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Star Wars Episode 9. We have Glass coming out, the Lion King remake, the Downton Abbey movie, the Joker movie, It Chapter 2, Godzilla 2, Captain Marvel, Lego Movie 2, Jordan Peele's movie Us, The Irishman, Frozen 2, Hellboy, the Fred Rogers movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Aladdin remake, the Dumbo remake, the Men in Black sequel, Men in Black 4. We have Kung Fury, the movie, Angel Has Fallen, the sequel to London Has Fallen, as well as just so many more movies coming out next year that we really should be excited for. So as we say goodbye to 2018, I have to say it's been a great year for movies, but I'm looking forward to 2019, with much anticipation, especially for, of course, Toy Story 4. All right, well, that's my last episode for 2018. This might be released in 2019, probably, but this is the last time I am doing a podcast episode in 2018. Going forward, the podcast will be more active, hopefully. We'll have more episodes covering more different topics and special guests. I know I've been promising that for a while, but I actually am having a lot of free time in my hands since I'm done with college, so I'll be able to do all the things that I've been promising. So again, thank you all for watching. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. If you did, be sure to give it a like or comment or share this with your friends and family. Also, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. Look up the Vince Lerner, the Big V75. You can check out more videos from me, including opinions, short films, and trailer reactions. And I hope you guys have had a great 2018. Be sure to comment below your list or your top 5 or top 10 of 2018. Let me know what you guys thought of my list, and I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Let's have a conversation in the comments. All right, well, thank you for watching. Have a great day. Have a great new year. God bless. Merry Christmas, and peace out.